Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that is the name of Jesus Christ. So let's sing Your Name. Lord, we thank You that we can be saved by Your name, that Your name carries so much power with it that there is no other name by which we can be saved. And Lord, thank you for the testimony of those who are going to be baptized today, and for the fact that they're going to say that we claim the name of Christ. That is our banner. And we just pray that everything would go smoothly today. We pray that we would be receptive of what we hear from the Word, and open our hearts to you and open our minds to understand, and bless us as we learn today, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Cornerstone. I'm going to take my in-ears out because it sounds weird. Yeah, that's better. Welcome to Cornerstone. It's great to have you here today. Of course, today is a very special day. We're having a baptism today. 10 people? 10 people. 10 people. That was 10 celebrations in heaven when they came to Christ, right? Angels. Angels celebrate that stuff. And we're told that they long to look into our salvation. They're like, what is that? Because they don't get it. They're not part of that process. Only we get to be part of that process of salvation. That's so cool. God's like, this is specifically for you. Angels are different. Huh. I love that. Anyway, we do have a question of the day today. Have you been baptized? And if you have, tell somebody about it. Kids, third grade and under, you can go down to Children's Church. My wife has something planned for you. Everybody else, talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to this baptism day. We are excited. We are excited to have 10 people baptized. I think we'll have 10 people baptized. There's maybe one missing that I don't see right now, but by the time of the baptism, be praying, please, because they're talking about thunderstorms, and we can pray those thunderstorms back an hour or two. So let's just be praying that God keeps the thunderstorms away from us. We don't want any electrocutions in the pool or anything like that. But we're excited. It looks like it'll be clear. And yeah, so anyway, want to talk about baptism a little bit this morning. Before we go do it, many of you have been. How many of you have been baptized before? You've been baptized. Okay, a lot of hands up. A few of you have not. So I want to talk about the difference between a fan and a follower. A fan and a follower. And I want to use something that's familiar to maybe a few of you. Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. I heard a couple shout outs. So what's the difference between a fan and a follower? Sometimes I ask you to read my mind. A fan is somebody who likes to watch the games. They like to watch. They get excited maybe a little bit when a play happens. Probably own some of the merchandise on game days. We've got some people that come decked out. That might be more of a follower. But if you've got a hat or a jersey or something, that's a fan. A follower is different. A follower is up a level, maybe up a couple levels. Followers, from their couch in their living room, they actually think they're at the game, right? They're screaming at the refs. They're jumping up and down. They think that they can hear what they're shouting. I have met some followers who actually believe that they need to be sitting in their special chair watching the game, or the game will turn out differently. Right? Some of you are like, yeah. Uh-huh. Their emotions are connected to their team. They are all in. That's a follower. And I got a couple pictures just so you understand. These are some followers, okay? They're into it. They're not sitting down. And you know, I think that would probably define a follower, right? This guy, I'm not going to mess with that guy. I am not going to mess with him even a little bit. This is my favorite one, I think. They are painted head to toe, decked out. These are followers, okay? These are followers. Followers spend money on going to the games. They invest in it. And when their team loses, you're going to want to give them some space the next day. You're going to want to give them, just back up a little bit. But when their team wins, that's the time to ask for favors because they're feeling good. Yeah, sure. What do you need? I'll give it to you. So followers are all in. And I do think we have a couple guys who might consider themselves followers of the Eagles in this room. And you know who you are. You know who you are. But how about this question? What's the difference between a fan and a follower of Jesus? What's the difference? I would suggest that fans are people who, they think fondly of Jesus. They may have a bumper sticker on their car, one of those little Jesus fishes or something. Maybe even a discreet tattoo. Fans will show up at church sometimes and speak positively about Jesus whenever the subject comes up. Followers of Jesus are next level. They're next level. Followers are all in. And they may or may not have the tattoos to show it, but their life proves it. Followers love Jesus. They look for excuses to spend time with God. Followers want to hang out with other followers. They also want other people to become followers with them. Followers recruit. They want more followers to join them. Followers don't just like Jesus and his teaching. Followers believe. And you can tell. You can tell. So do we have any followers of Jesus in the house today? Do we have any followers of Jesus in the house today? Okay, right? Today's a special day because we're having a baptism. We're having a baptism and 10 people are getting dunked, like literally dunked all in because Jesus said to do that. That's why we do it. And some of you are here to support family or friends who are being baptized today. So welcome those of you who maybe have never been here before or maybe only once or twice. But maybe you're wondering, what is the big deal anyway? What's the big deal about baptism? I want to talk about that a little bit before we go do it so that it makes sense to everybody. Christian baptism is a practice that began just a little bit after Jesus rose from the dead. And yes, we believe he did rise from the dead. And so baptism is meant to be this first step or an early step in the spiritual journey of a new follower of Jesus. It's a physical act that says, I'm in. I am in. And when you think about it, baptism really is an all-in kind of action. It's a whole lot more than just like quietly raising your hand during a church service or praying a prayer in your bedroom, in your privacy. It's stepping into a body of water while a bunch of dry people watch and allowing somebody to push you under, hoping that they do bring you back up again. And I will. I promise. My record is 100%. But, I mean, think about it. There's actually a lot of symbolism in baptism. It means something. It's symbolic of Jesus' own death. You go down under the water. That's picturing a death that's happening. But thankfully, every single time, we don't leave them under the water. They come back up just like Jesus came back up. There's symbolism here. When a person is baptized, they go under picturing Jesus' death, but it also pictures your own death. In a sense, we die to certain things as followers. We turn away from things that may have had a lot of pull in our lives before. We turn away from stuff, habits, beliefs, priorities. We die to those things. And then we come back up out of the water, bursting out like Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That's how it happens every time. Come out of the water, completely drenched from head to toe. That part pictures your brand new life in Jesus. Just like Jesus rose from the dead, you rise from dead. We were spiritually dead, now we're spiritually alive. And now I have a connection to God that I did not have before. This is the symbolism of baptism. And when you come out of that water, there's not a dry part on you. You are all in. We don't do baptism with a little like squirt gun or something like that, like just a little bit of water. Like we go all the way under. I'm pretty much drenched. You're pretty much drenched. Like that's how it's pictured in the Bible. So as we get ready to baptize a bunch of people in just a little bit, I want to show you a couple passages in the book of Acts. It's a book in the New Testament that talks about baptism. And the book of Acts is a historical record of the earliest days of the church. from the time of Jesus' ascension back to heaven until the time of the gospel ministries of Peter and Paul, and they're traveling around talking about Jesus, talking about the resurrection, talking about salvation, talking about the gospel. And so Acts gives us a history of that, some of the key events during that time. And what we find in Acts is baptism comes up again and again and again. Baptism was pretty important back then. It's pretty important still. So, first passage I want to show you is Acts chapter 8, verse 26. This is a story of a guy named Philip and an Ethiopian guy named Eunuch. Actually, he's just an Ethiopian eunuch. I don't think we even know his name. He's an Ethiopian eunuch. You can look up what a eunuch is if you want. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip is one of Jesus' original 12 disciples. So we don't know a ton about him. He's not one of the big ones, one of the ones that we know about and hear a lot about. But we've got him here, Philip. He's one of the original 12. The Ethiopian is a high-ranking official of the Queen of Ethiopia. So he's kind of like, he's got some clout. He's got some authority. He's got some status. But he's also got some connection to the Jewish faith because he's traveling home from a visit to Jerusalem. And he was there to worship. So he's an Ethiopian dude who likes to worship like the Jews. Don't know much about him, but we do know that. So what I want you to listen to is listen to how God works to turn this man, this Ethiopian man, from a fan of Judaism to a follower of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Hear anything about Gaza? Yeah. He's going from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. He wasn't walking. He was in a chariot. Okay, he's got some money, probably. So he's riding in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" You ever feel like that when you read the Bible? How can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me, right? That's where he's at. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. That's strange, people. That is strange. Okay, did you notice what just happened? He disappeared. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay. So, first of all, in this story, you can't help but notice the hand of God is at work in the details. God is working. An angel directly tells Philip, "You got to go to that chariot over there." Guy he's never seen before, never met before. And this Ethiopian man just happens to be reading the Old Testament. Old Testament prophetic book of Isaiah, and of the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, he just happens to be reading chapter 53. Which Philip explains is prophetically talking about Jesus, his crucifixion. Written 500 years before that time, crucifixion that just happened, weeks before. This is no coincidence that he's reading this passage, that he's on this journey, that Philip comes up. There are no coincidences happening here. God is working. And on top of that, all these things, these details that are coming together, at the end you have this miraculous transport. Philip gets zapped from one place to another. I don't think there's anywhere else in the Bible where that happens exactly like that. So the Spirit of God is obviously at work. But you know what we also see? The Ethiopian is searching. He's searching. His heart is thirsty for God. He's just been to Jerusalem. It says he was there to worship. He believes in the God of Israel. He's on the right path. He's reading the Hebrew scriptures, but he's uncertain about his beliefs and hasn't really heard anything about Jesus yet. So Philip explains all the good news about Jesus, who just recently fulfilled these ancient prophecies, and the Ethiopian believes. He believes. How do we know the Ethiopian believes? Because when they came to the next rest stop, the Ethiopian says, look, there's some water. Can I get dunked right now? Can I do that? He doesn't say, you know, that was a really intriguing conversation. I appreciate that. Hey, you want to talk about something else now? No, he's like, let's do this. There's nothing that I want to do right now more than get into that water and get dunked. He believes Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, and he decides right then and there, I'm in. I am in. He seals his decision with the physical act of baptism. And if you read this story, the way he's baptized is obvious. They both step down into the water. They're in the water. They're not just splashing around. This is dunking. This is immersing. This is just like what we're about to do in the pool in just a few minutes. They get into the water. The Ethiopian goes completely under. This is signifying, I'm dying to my old ways, the things I believed, the things I thought, the priorities I had. I'm dying to those things, the beliefs that I held to. Comes back up out of the water. I'm a new man in Christ now. I'm not just a fan, I'm a follower. I'm a follower. The man then returns to his post in Ethiopia, most likely became one of the people God used to bring the good news of Jesus to the continent of Africa. Guys, that's great. We don't have the rest of the story. We don't know the rest of what happens. We can't say for sure the rest of his story. What we know is he came out of the water rejoicing, and he returned to Ethiopia, and this new faith he received, he brought it with him. He brought it with him. This undoubtedly changed his life. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, his life was changed. The second passage I want to show you is from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here, this is interesting. The Apostle Peter had just preached this message. He preached this convicting sermon to a huge crowd of Jewish people. And his main point, you don't want to know his main point in this message? He looks out at this massive crowd and said, you crucified your own Messiah. That's his main point. You killed your Savior. You've been waiting for him centuries. And you nailed him to a cross. Good job, guys. Well done. You crucified the Son of God. This is not a feel-good message. This is not a, I'm just going to itch your ears and make you feel happy right now. You killed the Messiah. You really messed up here. So how do the people respond to this message? How do the people respond? Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. It said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So he just blasted them. You guys killed the Messiah. What should we do? Repent. Guess what? God wants to forgive you. Like, they deserve the whooping of a lifetime. It's like, God wants to forgive you. Just repent, and he'll give it to you. And by the way, this isn't just for you. It's for your kids, for their kids, for all who are far off. Where does that reach? Sunday morning, right here in Kutztown. All who are far off. He's talking about us. This is for us too. Verse 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I'm glad it's not corrupt anymore. Right? It's a lot different now. It's not much different now. It was corrupt then. It's corrupt now. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people who heard that message responded in faith. They believed it was true. They listened to what he said. It says they accepted his message. They accepted his message. That means they responded the way he told them they needed to. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You want forgiveness? Just turn to him in repentance, and he will give it to you. He wants to forgive. He's not holding out on you. He's not holding the grudge. He's not getting bitter. He's not mad. He wants to forgive you. So he says, repent and be baptized. Now, to be clear, baptism was not a magical bath that washed their sins away. It really wasn't. Baptism was an act of faith that said, I'm trusting Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I believe it was me that put him on the cross. It was our fault, my sins. I believe that, and I'm trusting Jesus right now. Baptism is a physical way to express, I'm a follower of Jesus now. So baptism doesn't turn you into a follower. Baptism declares, I am a follower. Amen. So I think we need to ask the question then, so if baptism doesn't make me a follower, how does a person actually become a follower? How does a person become a follower of Jesus? Because we're not born that way. We're not. And a whole bunch of years ago, I learned that there's just this simple way of thinking about it, remembering to become a follower of Jesus is as easy as ABC. I can't make it any simpler than this. As easy as ABC. Admit, believe, and call. I learned that at Word of Life Bible Institute. Admit, believe, and call. So I just want to walk through that with you for a second. If I want to become a follower of Jesus, I got to admit something. I've got to admit I'm a sinner. I've got to admit I've messed up. I've done wrong, and my sin is against God. I've hurt other people too. But my sin is primarily, first and foremost, an offense against God. I've got to admit that. If you don't have anything to admit, you've got nothing to be saved from, nothing to be forgiven of. I've got to admit, I've got stuff that needs forgiveness. I got to admit, there's a problem between me and God. The problem's me. The solution is Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 just paints the whole canvas. This is all of us. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not good enough. We're not. None of us. We're all in the same boat. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Guys, that's good news. What we deserve is death. What he wants to give us is life. This is the good news. Sin is a reality for every one of us, but only those willing to admit that to God can find the help and healing that we need. We've got to admit. Second, we got to believe. We got to believe something here. We got to believe that Jesus is the solution to my problem. When he died to pay to the penalty I earned, what I deserved for my sin, my rebellion, my guilt went to him. I got to believe that he took that he wanted that. He wanted to take that for me. All the ways I'd ignored God, all the ways I'd broken his law, all the ways that I'd offended him and angered him, all the ways I'd hurt other people, all the wrong thoughts, wrong actions, everything. Jesus took my judgment and he died an excruciating death on the cross. He was tortured. He didn't just die. He was filleted. He was abused. He was ridiculed. It wasn't just death. Okay, you die. No, it was a process, a grueling, disgusting process that the Romans had just really figured this out. How can we really make somebody suffer a lot before they die? That's what Jesus did. And he did it for me. Why? Why? Why would the Son of God, the King of creation, he could have just wiped us out and started over. He spoke it and the universe existed. He's that big. Why would he do that for me? Because he loves me. Because he loves me. Because he loves you. Gotta believe that. Gotta believe that. I gotta admit my criminal status before God. I'm guilty. I'm not gonna plead innocent. That will not stand. He knows all the details. Admit my guilt and believe that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was for me because he loves me. Man, he loves us more than we can imagine. We've got to believe that. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the proof that he loves us. While we were still sinners, this is the demonstration of his love. This is what we go back to when we're not sure. How do I know he loves me? That's it right there. I mean, you go to lots of other things, but that's the one, the big one, because he died for you. Can't give any more than that. Can't give any more than that. Admit my guilt. Believe Jesus did that for me. He loves me. And he made us, remember? Right? We believe God made us. We don't believe we're accidents. God actually made us. And when he made us, he poured himself into us. Right? Do you understand that? He poured himself into us. God's image is in us. And it's beautiful. What God has done, what he has made, we're different from the animals. And we're different in a way that we're like God. He gave us beauty, but that beauty has been obscured and camouflaged by our foolish rebellion. We don't look beautiful sometimes. And we don't feel beautiful sometimes. We think we know better than God sometimes. I got news for you. We don't. We don't not never know better than God. I don't know how many negatives I can use to emphasize that. We really don't know better than God. But Jesus, he saw the ugly on the outside. He saw the beauty on the inside. And he could see through the camouflage. And he saw what's really inside of us, the potential and what he designed us for. He said, I'm going after them. I'm coming to get them. They can't even see how lost they are, but I'm going into that den of lions and I'm going to get them out, even if it costs me everything. And that is what he did. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he loves you that much? Admit your need, believe Jesus is the solution, and see, call. Call out to God to save you, to forgive you, to rescue you from the death you deserve, the judgment I deserve. I needed to be rescued. You need to be rescued. We all need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from the death we deserve, from the hell we deserve. We need to be rescued from that. And when he rescues us, he brings us back safe and sound into his forever kingdom. We deserve death. He gives life. And he makes us his child. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'm going to read this one. It's a little bit longer. This is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No question about it. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or declared righteous before God, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no good person and bad person. There's no difference in race and in ethnicity in terms of this. Male, female, it doesn't matter. There's no difference. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. That is the good news. Call out to him. Jesus offers for everyone who will admit that they need help, that they need forgiveness and rescue, believe that Jesus can and wants to rescue you, and you call on him to do it. Accept the invitation. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 2:41, where we read earlier, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to the church that day. That was an exciting day, 3,000 people. 3,000 people. God was moving. Things were happening. The Holy Spirit was working. And you know what? Today's a pretty exciting day too, because God's working here. There are 10 people who want to step into those waters and say, I'm a follower. I'm a follower. They're going to do it just like the Ethiopian did, just like those 3,000 others did a couple thousand years ago. So at this baptism, in just a few minutes, you're going to hear from several of them a little bit about their story, how God brought them to where they are. It's exciting to hear those stories, to hear how God has been at work. It's encouraging to hear those stories. So this is going to be a special time. I hope you are planning to come with us over. The service doesn't end here. The service ends over at the pool in a little bit. So I just really hope that you will make it to, some of you came here for that. So you're like, I'm not going to miss that. But some of you, maybe you didn't. But you're going to want to join us at the pool. You're going to want to not miss that if you possibly can. Your spirit will be lifted as you witness the Spirit of God who is alive and well working in people here in this room. Because he's working. He's working in those 10 who are getting baptized today. He's been working in a bunch of us, right? So before we go over to the pool, it's 1.8 miles from here. It doesn't take long to get there. You could walk there, but hopefully you'll drive anyway. But I want to ask you before we go over there, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? Or maybe you're still on the fringes, just kind of watching Jesus' followers from the outside, from a distance, trying to figure this out. Have you joined us as a follower of Jesus yet? Are you a follower? Are you in? When Jesus walked the earth, he talked a lot about God's kingdom. There's a kingdom, God's kingdom. Have you joined the kingdom of God? This isn't some kind of book club. This is some kind of CD thing I used to do way back in the day. This is a kingdom that will last forever. And you have been invited to join the kingdom by God Almighty. Jesus hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He offered that to anybody who responds. Have you responded? ABC, admit you're a sinner in need of God's mercy. Believe Jesus is the way to receive God's mercy. Call out to him to forgive you and save you from a life separated from God to bring you near. You want to be close to God? This is how it starts. It's how it begins. This is where the new life happens. There's two kingdoms, right? There are two kingdoms. In the end, there's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. And there's actually no neutral ground. There's nobody who's in between, who's like not part of either kingdom. We are all part of one of those kingdoms. We all belong to the kingdom of darkness until we call out to Jesus to rescue us from that darkness and bring us into the kingdom of light. So if you've never asked to be rescued, you're still in the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus gave this promise in John chapter 6. Whoever calls on him in faith, he will not turn away. This is a good promise. Nobody's too far gone for God. Nobody. Amen. Nobody's beyond rescue. The kingdom of darkness can get pretty dark. And some of you are going to share some of your stories, how dark it got maybe. It can get pretty dark. But every corner of that darkness is within the reach of Jesus. Every corner. So maybe today, maybe today's your day to call out to Jesus in faith. You tired of the darkness? Maybe today's the day for you. You know, the kingdom of darkness has no problem with you being a fan of Jesus. No problem at all. That doesn't change anything. It's becoming a follower that the dark kingdom has a problem with, because that means they've lost another one. And they don't like that. So you ready to become a casualty to the kingdom of darkness? And the cause of a party in heaven, like Matt said earlier, it's true. Luke chapter 15, there's more celebrating in heaven over one sinner who repents, who admits they need God, than over 99 righteous people who don't think they need to repent of anything. Hallelujah. Celebrating in heaven, parties in heaven going on perpetually. The 10 people being baptized today, they were already the cause of 10 parties in heaven. And you could spark another. You could spark another party in heaven. I remember the day I was baptized. It was kind of a long time ago now. It was a Vermont mountain stream. It was cold, and the stream had a pool just big enough for us to wade in, and it was maybe about hip deep when I was 12 years old. And it was a block away from the church that I grew up, East Wallingford Baptist Church, where my dad was a pastor for 16 years. That's where I grew up. But I was about 12 years old, and I've been a believer for about 6 years already. I've been a believer since I was like 6 years old, but I'm not sure I could say I was actually a follower yet. I kind of wanted to be, didn't really fully understand, but 12 years old, I knew it's time for me to do that, to step into the waters, to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. That was one of many steps in my journey that led me to be here today. I can tell you now, I'm definitely a follower now. There's no question. I'm a follower. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. And you probably realize that. Like, you want me to stand up there if you're not? Well, not necessarily. But I'm a follower. And even this week, I just learned a little bit more about how God loves me. I'm still learning about that. So I hope you're on that journey. I hope you're on that journey with God too. And if you're not, you can be. It's a really good journey. It's the journey. So we're going to head over to Mike and Florence's house in a couple minutes. As you hear people share, you watch them get baptized. If you've already been baptized, listen to their stories, celebrate with them, but also do some reflecting on your own journey. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, you called out to Jesus to be saved. Maybe the moment you were baptized, when that happened for you, reflect on that. Think about your journey with God too. And if you've not yet been baptized and it's dawning on you that, man, these people have something that I think I want that. I've never done this before, okay? I got permission from some of the leaders. This is okay. If you're at that spot, well, you want to be a follower of Jesus right now and you haven't been there and you want to get baptized, we're going to open that up. If you're thinking, you know, right now, I want to be a follower. If you want to do that, I invite you to talk to me today. We can dunk you today. We can do it right away. Just like the Ethiopian, what's keeping me from getting dunked? I want to be a follower too. So if you want to do that, you find me. And you talk to me, and we can do that. Maybe we'll baptize 11 people today. Maybe we'll baptize 12. Maybe we'll baptize 10. Maybe two people will back out and be like, ah, I'm scared. We'll baptize whoever wants to be baptized today, okay? But you push past that fear. Jesus hung on a cross for you. I think you can talk to me, right? I'm kind of approachable, right? But if you want to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism, we can make that happen today. So I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to give you a chance to think, okay, what does God want me to do right now? As I think about this, think about your own journey. If you're on it, if you're not on it, what is God doing in your heart right now? Just take a minute, and then Matt's going to come up, and then we'll get some instructions on what to do next.
Just to echo what Nate was saying, if you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, don't ignore it. And if that's the case, it didn't start today. You've probably felt it for a while, and you've known it for a while. So let today be the day that you make that decision. And I mean, I'm awkward as heck, but if you want to come talk to me about it, that's fine too. My personality is a little bit different than Nate's, and that's the good thing about the kingdom is that we're all different. So, but if you're a little awkward, that's fine. You can talk to me. I'll do my best. But I'd rather see you get into the kingdom than let it slide. So with baptism being today, I tried to find songs that were applicable. And there's not like, let's all go get dunked, you know, that I couldn't really find any songs like that. But I did find Thy Mercy, which I think for everyone getting baptized today, you would say that this is part of your testimony. So we're going to sing it along with you. Would you please stand? I don't think we can sit to sing this one. We're going to sing Thy Mercy.
My affection, I found my soul fast.
the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You can be seated.
All right, just two quick things. Is one to note is that home groups are on break for July. So if you go to a home group, don't go in July. And today, if you haven't heard, we're getting some people baptized. So we're going to head over to the Morrows. The address for their home is, no, I'm just kidding, I won't say it online. It's in your program. So if you got a program, the address is in there, or ask Mike and he'll tell you. And so, yeah, the baptism starts at 10:30, so you don't have to, like, run out of here, but maybe if you have to stop at a home and get something for the picnic or whatever, you should have time to do that, and we'll look to pick back up at 10:30. Big brick house on the corner, park anywhere on the street. There's a boat in the driveway. And go right into the backyard by the pool, and you'll find us there. The baptism will be live streamed, so if you have somebody that you would like to watch, you can let them know, and we'll have that up and running on our Facebook page just like we normally do. All right, see you soon.